Okay, I'm taking a deep breath. Let's dive in. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 224. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. My name is Steve Webb. I'm your host. Welcome. So happy to see you today. Our reading today is 1 Timothy chapters 1 through 3, after which I will have some comments. Some might even call them incendiary comments, but I sure hope not. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how good it is to be called your child. And not just called, but to really be yours. You created us, and now we've been adopted into your family with all the benefits. We have an inheritance that will last for eternity. Thank you for making that possible by giving your Son and giving us the faith to believe. As we read your word today, please teach us by your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I, Paul, am writing this letter. I am an apostle of Christ Jesus, just as God our Savior commanded. Christ Jesus also commanded it. We have put our hope in Him. Timothy, I'm sending you this letter. You are my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Stay there in Ephesus. This is what I told you to do when I went into Macedonia. I want you to command certain people not to teach things that aren't true. Command them not to spend their time on stories that aren't completely true. They must not waste time on family histories that never end. Things like that cause people to argue instead of doing God's work. His work is done by faith. Love is the purpose of my command. Love comes from a pure heart. It comes from a good sense of what is right and wrong. It comes from faith that is honest and true. Some have wandered away from those teachings. They would rather talk about things that have no meaning. They want to be teachers of the law, and they are very sure about that law, but they don't know what they're talking about. We know that the law is good if it is used properly. We also know that the law isn't made for godly people. It is made for those who break the law. It is for those who refuse to obey. It is for ungodly and sinful people. It is for those who aren't holy and who don't believe. It is for those who kill their fathers or mothers. It is for murderers. It is for those who commit adultery. It is for those who have a twisted view of sex. It is for people who buy and sell slaves. It is for liars. It is for those who give witness to things that aren't true. And it is for anything else that is the opposite of true teaching. True teaching agrees with the glorious good news of the blessed God. He trusted me with that good news. I am thankful to Christ Jesus our Lord. He has given me strength. I thank Him that He considered me faithful, and I thank Him for appointing me to serve Him. I used to speak evil things against Jesus. I tried to hurt His followers. I really pushed them around. But God showed me mercy anyway. I did those things without knowing any better. I wasn't a believer. Our Lord poured out more and more of His grace on me. Along with it came faith and love from Christ Jesus. Here is a saying that you can trust. It should be accepted completely. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst sinner of all. But for that very reason, God showed me mercy. And I am the worst of sinners. He showed me mercy so that Christ Jesus could show that He is very patient. I was an example for those who would come to believe in Him. Then they would receive eternal life. The eternal King will never die. He can't be seen. He is the only God. Give Him honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. My son Timothy, I give you these teachings. They're in keeping with the prophecies that were once made about you. By following them, you can fight the good fight. Then you will hold on to faith. You will hold on to a good sense of what is right and wrong. Some have not accepted these teachings. By doing that, they have destroyed their faith. They are like a ship that is sunk. Hymenaeus and Alexander are among them. I have handed them over to Satan. That will teach them not to speak evil things against God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First, I want all of you to pray for everyone. Ask God to bless them. Give thanks for them. Pray for kings. Pray for all who are in authority. Pray that we will live peaceful and quiet lives. And pray that we will be godly and holy. That is good. It pleases God our Savior. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants them to come to know the truth. There is only one God, and there is only one go-between for God and human beings. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He gave himself to pay for the sins of everyone. That was a witness given by God at just the right time. I was appointed to be a messenger and an apostle to preach the good news. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. God appointed me to be a teacher of the true faith to those who aren't Jews. I want men everywhere to pray. I want them to lift up holy hands. I don't want them to be angry when they pray. I don't want them to argue. I also want women to dress simply. They should wear clothes that are right and proper. They shouldn't braid their hair. They shouldn't wear gold or pearls. They shouldn't spend too much on clothes. Instead, they should put on good works as if they were clothes. That is proper for women who claim to worship God. When a woman is learning, she should be quiet. She should follow the leaders in every way. I do not let women teach. I do not let them have authority over men. They must be quiet. Adam was made first. Then Eve was made. Adam was not the one who was tricked. The woman was tricked and became a sinner. Will women be saved by having children? Only if they keep on believing, loving, and leading a holy life in a proper way. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a statement that can be trusted. If anyone sets his heart on being a bishop, he desires something excellent. A bishop must have a good reputation. He must have only one wife, be sober, use good judgment, be respectable, be hospitable, and be able to teach. He must not drink excessively or be a violent person, but he must be gentle. He must not be quarrelsome or love money. He must manage his own family well. His children should respectfully obey him. If a man doesn't know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a new Christian, or he might become arrogant like the devil and be condemned. People who are not Christians must speak well of him, or he might become the victim of disgraceful insults that the devil sets as traps for him. Deacons must also be of good character. They must not be two-faced or addicted to alcohol. They must not use shameful ways to make money. They must have clear consciences about possessing the mystery of the Christian faith. First, a person must be evaluated. Then, if he has a good reputation, he may become a deacon. Their wives must also be of good character. They must not be gossips, but they must control their tempers and be trustworthy in every way. A deacon must have only one wife. Deacons must manage their children and their families well. Those deacons who serve well gain an excellent reputation and will have confidence as a result of their faith in Christ Jesus. I hope to visit you soon. However, I'm writing this to you in case I'm delayed. I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The mystery that gives us our reverence for God is acknowledged to be great. He appeared in his human nature, was approved by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was announced throughout the nations, was believed in the world, and was taken to heaven in glory. Well, I might get in trouble with some of you with part of today's comments, but I hope you'll listen all the way through. Will you do that? Have I earned your trust? I hope so. I'm going to start off with just some introductory information about Paul's letters to Timothy, and then transition into the minefield. Okay? I'm taking a deep breath. Let's dive in. Up to this point in the New Testament, Paul's letters have been directed at specific churches. Beginning now with 1 Timothy, Paul's letters are now directed at individuals. There are two letters to Timothy, a letter to Titus, and one to Philemon. Like Paul, Timothy and Titus were evangelists. They went from place to place preaching the good news. Timothy received the message of the gospel from Paul at the age of about 15, we think, which is why Paul refers to him as his son in the faith. At the time Paul wrote this letter, it's thought that Timothy was around 35. Timothy's pastoring the church at Ephesus, and Paul is offering some words of advice on how he should conduct himself and lead his congregation. Paul first addressed the subject of false teachers. There was a sect that had arisen called the Gnostics. Briefly, these folks believed many strange things that were completely contrary to what Scripture says, and Paul told Timothy that they don't know what they were talking about. And he told Timothy that some of these folks were beyond help. "And now I go where angels fear to tread. I'll address Paul's teaching on women. I hope I'm not beyond help as I go into this very unpolitically correct subject. Pray for me that I don't get canceled." In chapter 2, Paul has advice for the young preacher about worship services. Note that he instructs all the people in Timothy's church to pray for everyone. He didn't say that only the men should pray, and he told them to pray specifically for those in authority. And then he says that women should come to church in modest dress. They shouldn't be dressed to the nines, as we might say today. Or maybe as we might have said when I was younger. Anyway, church is not the place to draw attention to oneself. In a worship service, the focus is supposed to be where? Yeah, on God, not us. And certainly not the woman who looks like she's trying out for the next cover of Vogue magazine. Can we get real for a minute? Men are easily distracted by a beautiful woman. Billions of dollars are spent every year in fashion and makeup because of that fact. You know this to be true. Do you really think it's helpful for men or women to be in a worship service and have their attention drawn away from God by overly made up and underdressed women? I expect some of you might say, well, if they're distracted, then it's the man's problem. But here's the thing. Not really. It's biology. Men are wired that way. Yes, we can redirect our attention away from the beautiful woman who walks by, but that doesn't mean that our attention wasn't first drawn for at least an instant. And now let's talk about respect. Yes, men should respect women by not staring, and women should respect men by not dressing so as to draw those stares. It goes both ways. And now here's the big one. Paul says that a woman should be quiet when she's learning. That too is respect. And he says that he does not allow women to teach or to have authority over men. In today's culture, that's like a nuclear bomb. We've been so sensitized to women's rights and women's equality that to say such a thing will draw an avalanche of derision and outrage. Paul's reasoning for this teaching was this. Man, Adam, was the first created human. Eve was created from his flesh. And it was the woman, Eve, who was tricked into believing Satan's lie in the Garden of Eden. And it was through her that sin entered the human race. Yes, Adam also sinned, but he wasn't tricked. He made the decision to disobey God's warning. And God's judgment on the both of them was severe. Man would provide for their needs by the sweat of his brow, and the woman would be ruled by the man. If you doubt this, look at Genesis 3:16. So Paul was following the teaching of Genesis. There are differences in our roles and our responsibilities, no matter what our present culture says. There are differences. But if I could ask you to listen for just another moment, please, if I could ask you to put away the tar and feathers, I have what I think is good news. It's imperative to take the whole of Scripture to learn the heart of God and Paul's heart. Neither God nor Paul hate women. And certainly Jesus does not. God wants all to be saved. He made provision for both men and women to come into relationship with Him. The church is thought of as the bride of Jesus. He was respectful to every woman we have record of in the New Testament. God chose a woman to be the way Jesus came into the world. He could have just created the Messiah out of the dust of the earth or out of nothing, but He chose a woman. Paul taught that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. Do you know what Christ did for the church? He gave His very life for her. And Paul even had great respect and admiration for several women that he mentioned specifically in his letters. So, though our culture would like to paint both God and Paul with a misogynistic hue, they do so without a proper understanding of Scripture. Do I need to say that I also have great respect for women? My best friend in the entire world is a woman. What are your thoughts? Now's the time. I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Hey, for those of you who are standing with me and praying for our country each and every day, hang in there. Keep at it. Don't forget. Be consistent. I believe that the only thing that's going to save our country is God. As he said in 2 Chronicles 7:4, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Beloved, let's stay faithful in our commitment to pray daily for the land that we love. To find out what Bible translations I use today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 224. Tell a friend about the show as well. Tomorrow we're going to read Numbers 1 through 4. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. I hope you come back tomorrow. Bye.